Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth in Texas. Today is the fourth in our series on the nature and state of new thought today. And I've had some very interesting guests during the month. But today joining me is a minister, author, and vice president of Unity Prayer and Practice at Unity's 24-hour prayer ministry, Silent Unity. It's Reverend Linda Martella-Witsit, and it's a joy to welcome Linda to the show. Welcome.
Well, it's my honor to be here, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share in this hour with you.
Well, you know, it's been cool because I've had guests from all over New Thought in this series. You know, it was my intent to discover a little more about where New Thought is, and the best way to do that is to talk to people who are, you know, heavily involved in it. And of course, we could have pulled so many more, and maybe we'll do another series on this theme, because it's been quite fascinating. But in the first week, you know, I had Lola Wright with me from the Bode Center in Chicago, and her, one of her main focus points is social and political aspects of New Thought, and especially in regard to white privilege and racial equality and creating new paradigms. So it was good to discuss with her, you know, how does New Thought fit in with social action, and how do we become political without being overly political, you know? So that's an ongoing question, and maybe you've got some thoughts on that, Linda, in a little bit. Then writer and historian Mitch Horowitz joined me, and he's such an eclectic and scholarly person, and he provided wonderful insights into what he feels are important in New Thought and its role in today's world. And then last week I had Reverend Ken Gordon, who's the head, the spiritual leader, I think, of the Centers for Spiritual Living. And he shared his deep insights and his belief in the coming shift that he sees from old judgmental outlook in terms of religion to a new creativity. And he believes New Thought is at the leading edge. So again, I'm going to ask you about that too, Linda. What's your thoughts on that? Now, Linda, you've been in Unity for a while, haven't you? And now you're the head of Unity's prayer ministry, Silent Unity. So what's exciting about Unity and New Thought for you? What continues to inspire you?
Well, where I find the greatest passion is in comprehending to the best of the signs that we have today, and social media gives us a lot of those signs, sort of comprehending where is the spiritual being today, where are they resonating, and where are they seeking the kind of support for daily living and for really inspired living? Where are they looking for that, and how can we, a tradition such as Silent Unity, how can we impact that? How can we be supportive, and how can we modify some of our processes and delivery of prayer support going into the future such that we can continue to make a difference and an impact?
And you know, you're right, it is a tradition, isn't it? I mean, it's probably Unity's oldest tradition because it's been going strong now for over 125 years, and And really, that's testimony to me that it's the success of that particular ministry and the work that it does. But you're right, things are changing, right? The millennials, for instance, don't attend worship services or seek out prayer in the same way as the baby boomers or even Gen Xers. And so we've got to, you know, meet them where they are, right? And it is exciting because we can reach more people now through social media and like programs like this, on internet radio than we could in the past. And so there's all kinds of new things. We mustn't be afraid to change. I think almost every week I quote Charles Fillmore's famous statement, you know, I reserve the right to change my mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes we're fearful of doing that, aren't we? We don't want to lose what we think is sacrosanct, but it's okay to change.
Well, that's one of the features of change. It's one of the features of the tradition of Silent Unity that people have very, very strong feelings attached to the support that they're accustomed to receiving, and such that it's easy to think about it as there's a right way and a not right way, right? Or a wrong way to deliver
right.
this kind of support. And what we find is that we're more straddling the both and. We're looking at how do we preserve and strengthen and continue the kind of one-on-one prayer support that's been customary through the telephone lines, for example, and continuing today into the electronic version of that, right, through our YouPray app and through emails and other means that people have electronically of reaching Silent Unity. But still, it's a request and then a response to that request. And so how do we preserve that, strengthen it, continue to fund and staff that kind of an operation without letting that be the only way that we express in a world where increasingly, as you mentioned, people are finding other ways to support themselves and to seek support for a prayerful life or an inspired life, a spiritually based life. And one of those ways, of course, what we're seeing anecdotally, and then, of course, research is bearing this up or you know, reinforcing this idea that so much of what's happening in the world today is not ask and then receive. You know, it's not like drop a request and wait and somebody's going to answer that request. It's more participatory than ever. And this is being proven in the activism of this day and everything else. People are saying, like on the Facebook page, for example, where Silent Unity will post a prayer during a particularly challenging time in the world around us. You know, some event that prompts a lot of concern. And invariably, when we pray in that public way, we hear feedback, well, prayer is not enough. You've heard this too, no doubt, right?
Sure.
The listeners have probably heard this. Thoughts and prayers, like, haven't we had enough of that? Like, where's the action? So we're very conscientious nowadays in making sure that our prayer includes the call to action. And this was really part of the tradition of Silent Unity all the way back to Myrtle Fillmore, who was I think the queen of empowerment in prayer, who said, you know, because of your nature, because God is and because you are, now you can. And you can, based on the consciousness that you're cultivating in your prayer, you can take inspired action. You can take action that's consistent now with the vibration that you want as a solution to the world events, right? So we're working in that direction with prayers today, but we're also mindful that that the average person today wants to enter into conversation and wants to participate rather than just simply being fed some information or even a prayer, you see?
Well, and that's particularly true about millennials, isn't it? Like the studies that I've read say that, you know, they like may be interested in spirituality, not really in religion, but in spirituality. But they want that spirituality to be, like you said, practical. You know, how can it make a difference in my life right now? How can I inspire changes in my world as a result of believing this way of thinking? And that's it's not that we haven't always been a practical spirituality, because you know New Thought is practical spirituality, but it's been practical in the sense of one-on-one, right? Changing your mind and changing your life. Now I think people are keen to be seen to be going out and doing that in a larger, in a more macro sense, right? Because we're in such a divided world right now in this country. I don't think in my life experience here in the States, I never seen a country so divided. Even back in the 60s and 70s, it's not as bad as it seems today in some ways. Now, Ken last week was very inspiring because he said, this is a good thing because we are looking. The old is passing away and it's fighting, as it tries to hold on. But the new is coming, and it's often uncomfortable when these things happen. But the new paradigm is here, he says. This is what people are craving. They're craving a more creative response. And there's always going to be retrenchment, right? There's always going to be those of us that want to stay stuck, in the past when the new new idea is birthing. So do you also maintain that? I'm sure you do. You're a unity minister. You also have that optimistic approach, right?
Well, I certainly do. And I have a more gross way of describing like what's going on.
Right.
The sort of the chaos or the breakdown aspect of this, of what's going on in the world around us today. I like to think of it as a boil that is burst.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And
yeah.
And it really is that. It's out for, it's healing. It's healing. And it looks pretty awful and it's painful while we're in that healing process. But I rather kind of agree with where Ken was going with that I think there's great hope, because look, all the issues that are coming to the surface now that we're no longer hiding from, we're no longer repressing them, they're up for us to take a look at. And look, the world is just weighing in on them through all the means, through social media and such. And it feels difficult and rough and all of that, but I believe that there's inevitable fruitfulness that will come out of this,
right,
for sure. And, I want to just say this too. This is, I participate in the conversation around the unity movement for sure, and the leadership here about the degree to which unity speaks as one voice on social, to give social commentary, to speak on matters that some might call political, others might call human dignity issues and stuff like that. And I am part of that, and I am wholeheartedly in agreement that it's possible to for us to give messages that help us to raise our level of awareness, and then to inspire individuals to take the action that would be consistent with their inspiration, right? But I also must say that in the discipline that I am involved in, it's silent unity, it's a very different matter. See, our prayer work is certainly regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum, right? And our prayer work is not to be a public message of support for one platform or another platform. So in prayer, we rise above all of those concerns so that we can get to the clarity of what does our heart say, what does our mind say, what's the truth that's underlying these circumstances, and how can I land on that truth in such a way that my own heart and mind are healed of any inner divide that I might have, of any sense of wrong or other. And that's the first part of any inspired action in our understanding. And so that the prayer has to be something that takes us above the situations and allowing us to look at the wholeness that's underlying all human conditions and heal our own mind and heart. Now, once we've done that, then of course, kick it, go do it, go do it. Do what comes out of that as something that constructively you can do to support the change that you have in mind. Does this make sense?
Well, absolutely. There's so much demagoguery out there, isn't there? So many sound bites and trying to influence in one direction or the other. But we're talking about clarity, going to your inner center, finding some clarity so that you can then act wisely. And I think this is what's missing, it seems. You know, we have such easy answers, but they're not really satisfactory. You know, just to slap the term fake news on everything, for instance, is from whichever side that's coming from, is not helpful, because then, you know, it mesmerizes us. It thinks, oh, well, everything's crazy, I may as well not bother. But we do have the ability to discern, don't we? We don't want to be judgmental, but we do want to be discerning. I think that's hugely important, that we have that capacity to sift things so that we come to our own inner wisdom. And obviously in unity, we would say what works for all, right? What's for the highest and best of all concerned? It's not just about us or our side. It's we're all in this together, ultimately, right? We're all on this planet together. You know, we want to support every human being here, and that goes beyond any kind of divide of politics or race or gender. You know, it's something that's we're all part of here, I believe.
Well, and it's also very tricky, Paul John, because the judgment about what you just said is often what we hear coming back is, well, that's just a way of sort of dismissing yourself from having to be responsible. You know, that's the counter argument to what we're saying. And yet I say more intently that every single one of us has to come to that clarity within ourselves of what does wisdom say to me about my next step or my next word, my next act? What is the prevailing wisdom that such that I do this with the intent to support and to lend light, to offer something that's positive, supportive, and constructive to what is going on in the circumstances around me. And that I can only do that by becoming centered, as you said. And so prayer is a beautiful process for getting to that center of awareness where, yes, it's wisdom. It's the discerning power of wisdom. It's the fortifying power of the stability of spiritual strength that allows us to stand in what we know is the greatest truth we need. It allows us to stand in the expectancy of faith and to be able to hold a sense of hopefulness and positive, you know, turn our minds to positive outcomes and allow us to be visionary in that. There's the power of our imagination, our visionary capacity. And so through prayer, we get to touch upon those inner capacities, our spiritual capacities that we bring into the decisions that we then make about how to respond to what's happening in the world around us. And that changes. It certainly changes for me what I might do, right? It changes
right.
Because I'm no longer being reactive. Now I'm being inspired, and I'm taking action based on my prayerful reflection.
Well, of course, Jesus gave us the template, didn't he, very succinctly in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of the kingdom, the rightness, the order, the balance of the kingdom. And then all these things that you want, you know, the human things, the political, the social things will be provided in the right and perfect way, because you'll be guided through seeking first the kingdom to get the understanding right from your centeredness in that source understanding to make wise decisions. So it's the right relation of things, I think, that's hugely important, because Jesus talked about, and we talked about this in the other shows too, Jesus talked more about money than any other subject, you know. So obviously it was an important subject for the people around him, because he always spoke directly to people and what their concerns were. He knew that the world and money and mammon and all these things that are necessary for us, and he said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. He understood there was a balance there, but then he provides this wonderful antidote for confusion by saying, seek first, you know, seek first the kingdom and then all these things. So if we put that, you know, God-centered, or even if we don't want to use the word God, that essence of who we are, that spirit of who we are first, and get guidance, you know, like you said, from imagination, from wisdom, from all the other wonderful faculties we have that Charles Fillmore talked about, and you lift up, I know, in silent unity, and then things begin to unfold in the right and perfect way. And not just that, it gives us a little more peace of mind, doesn't it? Because
yes,
we don't want to be driven crazy by all the stuff out there. We want to have a centered and happy life no matter what's going on.
Yes, to withdraw from the situation, to it's when I'm standing right in front of, and that's what I see, when my perception is really turned toward the situation and the that what we call the appearance, then it's easy not to be mesmerized by that and to misperceive there that's the fact, that's the whole of it. And so when I turn the other way, I turn inward instead, and I just withdraw my attention from that external sense of things, and I get to that place of the inner sanctuary, it's been called. I withdraw to the mountaintop. I mean, there's just so many metaphors for that inner space where there is none of that going on, where it's not about happenings, it's about really the truth of being. It's what am I? What's my nature? What's my anchor of truth? And every discipline in the world, every spiritual tradition in the world leads in that direction. All the mystics tell us to, go within, go to your cave, so to speak.
And, every single person that talked to me this month, from the New Thought Movement, pointed out one huge way to do that. And because no matter how wonderful it sounds, and no matter how many people have talked about and how many religions, they all said, unless you have the feeling, unless you're impelled by a desire, deep heartfelt desire, and a feeling for this, you're not going to do it. And I think this is so important, right? Because when I was first in Unity, I was inspired by the practical spirituality of it. But then as I got further into it, I was a little put off sometimes by its sort of cerebral nature. They're talking about principle and mind and thinking and everything. And I love the idea that it's not just thinking, it's also feeling, right? Because nothing comes forward in our lives unless you have that deep connection. And often it's the feeling nature that gets us there, something that inspires us, visually in our bones, in our body. For me, it's nature. Nature does it for me. For others, it could be anything. But you have to have that feeling, I think, that gets us there.
Yeah, and I was, when you were beginning to speak, I was thinking of feeling in another way as well, because it's something that I've certainly been teaching, because it's my experience, is that, I can only have that which I long for or that which I desire. And so when I can feel a desire either as an inspired possibility or, a sort of a joyful anticipation, but I can also feel it as an excruciating yearning. And I think to get in touch with my feeling nature and to know what my heart is calling for, right? What am I in anguish about, and what am I in hope about? And either of those things can lead me to that inner journey. And they're both expressions of desire or of the feeling nature being lit up. And when I do that, that's when I can settle into a space of not necessarily only a physical space, but to go into that inner beauty that is my nature and be nourished in that state of silence and spiritual meaning making of prayer.
Well, we've talked about that too. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's not just in the good times when we can contact spirit, right? It's often in the difficult times and in the darkness. God is as present in the darkness as in the light. The spirit is everywhere present. So, and often when we're shaken out of our comfort zone through pain or difficulty, that's when we're thrown open and into the spirit, right? When I can't do it myself, God can. When I feel lost and give up, then I'm beginning to surrender into something larger than what I've taken myself to be. And that could be sometimes the most profound times in our lives. And we don't want to look at that really in Unity and New Thought, at least in historic terms, keep focused on the positive, etc. But now I think we're beginning to embrace the shadow work and avoiding spiritual bypassing, you know, going through the difficulty and not trying to get through it as fast as we can so I can get to the light. You know, it's all good, right? The journey is as important as the destination if we see it aright.
Well, I'm well aware in my own life that it's been some of the greatest challenges that I've had that have led to the highest spiritual awarenesses. And for me, living in concert with the truth, you know, because I've had to. Because, you know, when the times get that tough and things are on the line, man, it's the proving of the principle. You know, it's the proving of it by insisting on a high spiritual practice at those times of greatest uncertainty or of greatest anxiety, for example, that have proven to be some of the highest times in my life and the times where I feel most connected and walk through with more grace than I otherwise would have, walk through that time.
So for any folks listening in today, and feeling, man, you know, life is not so good right now. I'm feeling distressed, cut off from my good, from God, from spirit, whatever. Be encouraged because, you know, those moments are not the end. They're the breaking open, just like we talked about earlier. The boil is bursting, and it doesn't seem very much fun at the time. In fact, it could be a horrific. But, you know, love is still possible. There's the resource of that deep inner knowing that we have within each of us. Even when we don't know from our egos, there is something deep within us that does know. And sometimes in our most extreme difficulty, we can experience the greatest, as you said, grace. So that's encouragement. And Silent Unity is always here for folks. For any of us, when we are in any kind of difficulty or need, to call and receive spiritual support and succor. So feel free always to call or contact Silent Unity in some way, and we'll talk about how to do that later in the show. Right now we're getting ready for a break. I'm with Linda Martello-Witsit. She's the head honcho of Silent Unity and the author of two books herself and Unity Minister for many years. So I'm excited to have her with me. When we come back, I've got a reading from Mitch Horowitz that I want to read, and in terms of approaches to God, to spirit, and the language in it we might use, and get Linda's take on it. So join us then after these messages from Unity.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
If you've been inspired by the programming on Unity Online Radio, we hope you will give your support so others may be inspired too. This online radio network depends on the support of listeners like you to continue operating and expand its outreach. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate today.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment with Eric Butterworth, taken from the live lecture, A Course in Practical Metaphysics.
Healing is the experience in our life of coming out of the darkness into the light, getting out of the confusion of human consciousness into the allness which is always present. But the allness of infinite life is present even within the illness. So God is not a healer. He doesn't look down upon you and say, well, you're sick, but you're a good person, and I like you very much, so I'm going to take this illness away from you. God doesn't take illness away from anybody, nor does God put illness into anyone, which belies a lot of traditional religious thought, too. We talk about, well, suffer to be so, it's God's will, and I guess it's my place to accept it. The will of God must always be the ceaseless longing of the Creator to express itself in that which has created. So it's a constancy, it's a force, which is ever seeking to press itself out into visibility as life, as wholeness, as success.
To find out more about Eric Butterworth, visit unity.org.
Since 1924, Daily Word has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths live happy, healthy lives. The magazine includes 2 months of daily affirmations, messages, articles, and spiritual poetry to help you get inspired. Subscriptions are available for print editions in large type and Spanish, as well as the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org. If you're looking to deepen your spiritual journey, Unity Magazine is your go-to source for information and inspiration. It's been beautifully redesigned and packed with interesting articles and compelling interviews from today's spiritual thought leaders. You'll find science, spirituality, and healing with a look at Eastern philosophies, meditation, as well as completely new ways to interpret the Bible. Plus, reviews on the latest spiritual books and music. Get a free trial issue at unitymagazine.org.
Tune into Everyday Attraction with Ray Zander every Friday at 12 p.m. Central here on Unity Online Radio. Take a deep dive into the teachings of Abraham and discover how to make the law of attraction work for you in your life. Each week, Ray goes into the heart of understanding the power of our emotions and how to become conscious co-creators. Learn how to release resistant thoughts and live life to the fullest. Find out more at everydayattraction.com.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm Paul John Roach, and I've got Linda Martella Whitsett as my guest, and we've been talking about New Thought, part of a series on the New Thought Church or movement today. And Linda, you've written a wonderful book called How to Pray to God, How to Pray Without Talking to God. I got it wrong. Freudian slip there. How to Pray Without Talking to God. And the importance of the book, I think, is to get away from those old paradigms when we're begging or beseeching a God outside of ourselves, right? And to understand that everything we need is already deep within us, that there's an indwelling presence of spirit, and we don't necessarily need to talk to God outside of ourselves. And because those old tapes linger, even in New Thought. But then I was reading Mitch Horowitz's book, The Miracle Club, and he has a different view on it, though he also accepts that the spirit is within. And let's see, I'll read a paragraph or so, and then let's discuss it, because he loves a man named Neville Goddard.
Yes.
You're probably familiar
I'm
with
familiar
him.
I'm familiar with Neville.
Yeah, who's very much into this idea of, that God is within us and life is a consciousness. God is consciousness. So here's what he says. He said, now, some in the New Thought tradition, and Neville is the prime example, teach that consciousness is God, that there is no one and nothing to whom to appeal beyond your own mind. There is no God, Neville told listeners, other than he who is your own wonderful human imagination. He chided people for praying to these little pictures, little icons, little medals, as he put it, and insisted that if the word God summons for you a persona or entity outside of yourself, you have missed the true nature of things. But I seriously question the need for this division, says Mitch. If God is in fact awareness or consciousness, then why couldn't the mind as God model comport with humanity's collective awareness of a higher being to which an appeal could be made? I see no necessary conflict between a divine entity and the holiness of the mind. The latter is the branch and the form of the tree or the root. And I'm proud to add that as a New Thoughter, I wear the miraculous medal around my neck, which is, I think, is a Catholic medal, and use iconographic prayer cards. I think it's vital to resort to prayer in a direct appeal to the higher when we feel incapable of mustering a feeling state of fulfillment or the ability to use our own minds constructively. At times of brokenness, I believe it's efficacious and appropriate to throw yourself on your knees and beg God for something. Yes, beg. We're not supposed to do that in New Thought and positive-minded traditions. New Thought teaches affirmative prayer, which means holding a thought or visual image, asking a higher power in deepest confidence to fulfill your needs and believing it is done. But why be bound to that convention? If you believe in the intercession of a higher power, as I do, use the language of your heart. Whether demanding, lovingly requesting, arguing, or pleading, there is no wrong way to pray, just that there is no wrong way to affirm. So he's throwing it out there, isn't he? He's mixing it up a little bit. And it makes for interesting reading. What's your initial response to that?
Well, he's speaking to, a whole demographic that relies on a sort of an externalization of that power of God in order to feel as though when I'm in a state of seeming inability to make that shift into unified consciousness myself for whatever reason, that it can help to see it as coming to me from an externalized higher power. I don't believe there's any one way to pray either, to tell you the truth. However, I certainly am in the camp of saying that as I have expanded my awareness of what God is, and as I have come to look at the claim of my divine identity, as Neville certainly fostered that in his teachings, that I have actually been strengthened, and I have actually found greater empowerment than I did when I was in a more supplicatory posture, and God was somewhere else than where I was. So I know that there's different strokes for different folks, and that really is the case when it comes to God, when it comes to defining God, when it comes to identifying a relationship with God. And, of course, I wrote a book called How to Pray Without Talking to God, because I'm rather like Eric Butterworth's statement that says, you know, why would we pray to a God? I mean, who is this we're praying to? Don't talk to God. Don't tell God your problems. Tell your problems about the power that is within you, right? Talk mm-hmm. to your problems. Talk to your circumstances and get them corrected. You know, get them to understand the truth. So I tend to just run in that camp, you know, but I certainly understand and I see. I have, look, my family tradition is Catholicism, and that's a very different, a sort of a deity-oriented faith tradition. There's great power in that for people, the whole falling on your knees and giving it up. See, what that says to me is when I finally release my own smallest, scared human thinking and feeling, that's what getting on my knees means to me. It means I finally let go of my own small-minded and terrified little conception of what could happen. And when I finally release that and release the energy of that, it's the same thing as saying falling on my knees. In other words, I give up. I give up. I give up my human struggle. I give up my trying to figure this out with a limited view that's born on an emotional reactivity because of the circumstance that I'm in. So let go of all of that and let me just, you know, surrender my craze, you know, my crazy brain. Let me just surrender that and let me feel the feelings of what I'm feeling, the frustration, the anxiousness, the scared, the whatever the emotion is, and let me just be. Let me just empty myself, in other words. And really, what we know is when we empty, what we've done really is open into the spaciousness of wisdom, of strength, of imagination, of life, of love, of all of our capacities. They're there. And I open to them when I let go of the constructs. So to me, it's the same activity, whether you call it, you know, bowing before God and supplicating God, or whether you call it, you know, releasing the human nonsense and opening our minds, right?
And I think both sides have, you know, some dangers associated with them, right? If you're always seeing God as outside of yourself, then it's very disempowering. You know, all the power is up there and out in space somewhere. And I never found that very satisfactory before unity. I loved the idea of unity claiming my good, that it's inherently here for me. And that was a huge breakthrough. Often, you know, with images too, all you can see is the image. You don't see what they're representing. So it's a bit like the finger pointing to the moon, and you are looking at the finger instead of the moon, right? The image becomes the thing itself. The concept becomes the thing itself rather than what the concept is pointing towards. The other side of it is if we don't understand this God within us, it clearly, you know, it can make us into little gods, right? And unfortunately, there is a little bit of that sometimes. There's a certain amount of arrogance sometimes in New Thought about, well, you know, I'm create my own reality, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got to be careful that your ego isn't doing that. Yeah, I think it's important, like you said, surrendering, you know, letting go of our humanness, so that we can truly embrace this magnificence. My other point, too, that I wanted to make is, you know, regardless of whether God is out there or inside, ultimately, the only way you know that is from a personal viewpoint on it, right? From your own knowledge, from your own understanding. And that is always happening to you. So, you know, ultimately, it's all about you, whether you think of a God out there or in here. It's where are you with it? So ultimately, we have to come home to ourselves here and to our true selves, not the mistaken identity. So that's always an inside job. So, you know, it always comes home.
Yeah, and I think there's if you say dangers or just some kind of things to be cautious about each of those stances, I think there really is. And I think that the concern or the interest would be in, you know, having a useful, authentic kind of spirituality, that it be useful, that, in other words, that when I have been in the throes of anxiety, that I have a way out of them, that I have a way to clarity, I have a way to peace of mind, I have a way to be able to sort of reset my whole platform such that I can act with inspiration and, right, move forward. And so whether that's that externalization of a deity, you know, because really it's all our own construct anyway, right?
Exactly.
I'm making
exactly.
God, God. I'm making God, God
sure.
In that
that's
sense.
That's what I'm saying.
That it's
yeah.
a construct. But if it, look, if it's useful and if that image makes a difference to me and if I'm therefore transformed by working with that paradigm, then it's got some function. Is it functional, you know? And if it's not functional, then find another model. That's what I say. And that's precisely why I did shift, to tell you the truth. That's precisely why I moved in the direction that I have and that I teach what I teach, is because that model was no longer functional for me. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't buy a deity, an external power that was not me, that was something other that came to rescue me or fix me or fix my brother. You know, I just saw enough inconsistencies in that sort of thought about what God is that it was no longer functional for me. And I stopped praying altogether until I entered into a rediscovery of, well, what is this God then if it's not that?
Yes,
and how absolutely. Does that help me?
Right.
How does it make a difference to me? Yeah.
Well, and this is why we call ourselves New Thought, right? There's many reasons why that term New Thought is the term that's used. But I love the idea that every day is a new day. So we get to have a new way of looking at things, right? Doesn't matter what went on yesterday. And this is corroborated by the Bible because, you know, St. Paul said, I die daily, right? So that he could be born anew and every day. And this is a new understanding of what it means to be born again, right? It's not a one-time thing. We're born again every time we choose a new way of approach, a more creative way of approaching our lives, right? Instead of the same old stagnant, fearful way. So this is huge, isn't it? That's why that keeps me excited about New Thought, is that, yes, it's newness. Jesus, as the cosmic Christ in Revelation, said, "Behold, I make all things new." And I believe that's happening every moment. You know, the Christ within us is saying, it's all new. You know, it's a timeless moment. It's never happened this way quite before. And you are it. You know, you are that timeless moment. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy that magnificent opportunity that your life is.
Yes, and it's so beautiful to recognize the times that I do recognize that, you know, because it is a new moment, the past has no effect. It no longer has to have an effect. In other words, I don't have to carry, you know, the past decisions into the present. I don't have to. I don't have to be subject to the effects of my past. I am brand new. I am made new. I have a new thought. I have a new way of being. And there's a statement in, I believe it might be the Sufi tradition, that just says, you know, one clear thought of unity, one clear thought of oneness, and of sincere effort to stand in that state of oneness just erases a whole lifetime of poor effort, you know, of not, I know I'm just really not saying that certainly verbatim, but it's that idea that it's the next thought that matters. It's the next moment of conscious living and the choice that I make that matters. And that's why I believe that a practice of prayer and meditation makes all the difference, because it allows me to make that next choice a new choice, you know, a fresh and inspired choice.
Yeah, and you're right. It's from the Sufi tradition, in a one clear moment is all you need there. But the Zen tradition talks about that too, you know, that the difference between enlightenment and delusion is one thought away, you know, one moment of clarity and I'm enlightened.
That's it.
The next moment of buying into the old patterns of fearfulness and I'm not enlightened. So it's not a state, it's a choice. You know, every moment is a choice to be free or to be in bondage, right?
And, yes, and that's why I teach, enlightenment is temporary.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just in this moment that I get to be that.
Exactly. And that's beautiful, you know, because I remember when I was first on the spiritual path, and I thought, oh, I've got to be like all these enlightened beings. And what are they, these enlightened beings? And, you know, there were books about them and different kinds of enlightenment and different states, different qualities and this, that, and the other. And, oh, one day I might be like those people, you know. And it's a total illusion, you know, because it's not a state to attain. It's the water that we're swimming around in if we're fish.
Yes,
you know, you can't say, oh, well, one fish is more enlightened than the other, you know. No, we're all, maybe one is aware that they're floating around in the water, whereas the others aren't. But that's the only difference. And you know, we all have the ability to become aware,
right.
And then we also have the ability to be not aware, right?
That's
why it's temporary.
Yeah, enlightenment is not it's not a destination, right?
It's not an
end point we're going to reach and then stay there. No, not in a divine life that is in an ever flow.
I'm going to be talking about this next month. Actually, I'm doing a series on teachers, gurus, and crazy wisdom, you know. And sometimes, you know, the teachers can be enlightened or aware, but then they start believing their own publicity, or they fall under the spell of their followers, and bad things happen because, you know, they lose sight of the intrinsic nature of their own freedom. And it becomes a commodity, you know, to be used. And sometimes the students force the teacher to be a certain way too, because it's not all power down. There's a lot of power differentials going on. So I'm going to look at that, because I think that's an interesting study. And this one thing we don't have really in unity, right, is this adoration of teachers. We have many wonderful teachers and books written and everything, But we are always encouraged to be our own teacher, ultimately, right? It's the inner guide that's important.
Yeah, and I can tell you some stories because I come from a yoga tradition. I lived at an ashram, and that was exactly what happened there, is the fall of the guru. I think the age of the guru is over for sure, certainly for Linda, certainly for Linda.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting month talking about those themes. You know, I've got somebody who's a devotee of Osho, and
that's right, and
you know, Maharaj Nish is another one,
right?
and some other folks going to be on the show, so it's going to be an interesting series. So folks, if you're interested in that, tune in November. So you're optimistic, you're still enthusiastic about your job at Silent Unity. Where do you see Unity and New Thought going in the next decade or so, Linda?
Well, definitely we're headed in the direction of being more in the world around us. We're headed in the direction of being more collaborative with other New Thought organizations, sister organizations, and we're finding that the impact of New Thought is larger when we work together to have a wider voice and a wider service to the world. So I definitely see that as a sense of direction. Where Silent Unity and prayer are going is we're definitely moving in the direction of greater technologies to allow people to be able to support themselves, for us to continue to support with inspired content, but also for... we're looking at things like online forums where individuals can opt in and have conversations that uplift and support one another for the kinds of things that are going on in their lives right then and there, you know. So that and, you know, we are on Alexa. You know, you can say to Alexa, read the daily word, and you'll get a daily word message. You can say... a positive prayer, and you'll get a Silent Unity prayer. So we're going to be looking at how can we do more of that, and how can we broadcast the message of unity. Because if you're listening into the media today, you're hearing that the message is going mainstream. I was watching some television show with my daughter, and in just the space of a few minutes, I heard about four or five different adages that roll off the tongue of the speakers on the show, and they're just the things that you hear every day in Unity, like every day I'm getting better and better, and you know, things have a way of working out all right, and you know, statements like that that of course are not pure affirmation, but they're hopeful statements that certainly are aligned with the message that we provide in Unity. So I think you know, I think we're on the edge of just really breaking out beyond sort of what's often called the best kept secret, right? And we're moving in the direction of being more in the world, offering our content in greater and greater ways through the media that's available today and into the future.
Right. Yeah, Unity's often been called the best kept secret in town, but I think the spiritual path, or the mystical unitive part of the spiritual path, is the great open secret, you know, because you don't understand it, you don't come to it until you're ready to appreciate it, right? We've all had probably in Unity, a lot of us have had mystical experiences where we've made that breakthrough. Oh yes, now I understand. And it takes that moment, I think, doesn't it? I think we've all had them. But sometimes we don't allow ourselves to have them because I'm not a saint. I can't have that mystical experience. Well, tell yourself, yes, you can. You know, you are as great a being as any other being on this planet, and you are heir to all the beauties and joys and possibilities. So we can expect a miracle, as they say, and not just in a glib, platitudinous way, but because the universe itself is a miracle. The fact that it's here, folks, and doing its thing in perfect divine order is an absolute miracle as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, why not expect a miracle? If people want to get in touch with you and Silent Unity, you know, to pray or whatever, what's the best way?
Oh, let's see. I have a phone number for Silent Unity. I pulled it up here. I think it's the right number. It's 816-969-2000.
Right. Okay, right. Thanks. And also people can go to unity.org, which is the Unity's website, and find all kinds of information on that. You can write to Silent Unity too.
And you could download the YouPray app. That's the letter U, the word pray, and you could download that for free on your on one of your devices, and then you can send Silent Unity prayer requests there. You can also listen to pre-recorded meditations on that app.
Very good. Yeah. And folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's show and the other three shows we've had on the New Thought Movement. And if you have any feedback, you're welcome to send me an email at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. You can go to my website at pauljohnroach.com and find other shows and other items that are on there. I've got a lot of my sermons from ministry on there. My blogs are on there. Other things. So check that out, pauljohnroach.com. It's been a joy to have Linda on the show, and I'm going to say goodbye to her in a second. Let me tell you what's happening next week. Next week, Unity Minister Victoria Etchemendi joins me, and she's going to talk about her work on interfaith. She's the chair of the Global Initiative Interfaith and Multicultural Team at Unity Worldwide Ministries. That's a handful, isn't it? Global Initiative Interfaith and Multicultural Team. But basically, it's focusing on how we can better come together in our diversity, remembering our oneness as spiritual beings, as human beings on this planet, and move beyond this hate and division and fear that we see popping up its ugly head sometimes. So we'll find out what work she's doing. I'm honored to be a part of that team. So I've been working with her a little bit over the last several months. But right now I want to say thank you. Thank you, Linda. What a wonderful show.
Well, it was really an honor and a joy to talk about these things because, of course, this is a point of passion. So thank you very
Absolutely.
Much for the offer.
And thank you for your service to Unity. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. All right.
And
be
thanks,
well.
Thanks, folks, for listening into this show and all the other shows on Unity Online. Glad you listened to World Spirituality, though. I feel honored that you do. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.